Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 9. We studied this yesterday, or a couple days ago. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's go back to chapter 3 a minute. We're not appointed to wrath. So what are we appointed to? Verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed thereto. We're appointed to suffer, to afflictions. And then it says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, what does he mean when he could no longer forbear? When the disciples that were appointed to affliction were suffering affliction, he was concerned that because they were suffering affliction, and affliction is simply anything you don't like, that they may have departed from the faith. Now, they would not depart from saying Jesus all the time, but departed from the faith in the day. Amen? What?
I'm wondering, what were the afflictions they were referring to exactly right here? They were being left alone?
No. It's Paul that was left. I mean, Paul was left alone. Remember, we studied this. Remember how they put everybody in jail? And it's in Acts 17. You can read that later. Okay. All right. Now back to chapter 5. Now verse 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also you do. Now, there's a couple more places we have to look at about died. So let's go to Romans 6. Turned right to it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in that newness of life. There can't be a resurrection without a death. Reckoning yourself dead, mortify, all those words that are forever. John and I went to Mike Lewis's Bible study last night, and I don't remember what I talked about, but I remember talking about boredom. And its relationship to this thing called affliction and suffering. It's so common that one tolerates boredom. Internally, you're bored to death with your way of life, with your marriage, with me, with Trinity, whatever it is, that boredom is it's like a living death. And again, the only way and the only reason that one can be bored is if they don't say what's there. If you always say what's there, I promise you, you'll never be bored. Because in saying what's there, as opposed to boredom, you will suffer affliction. You will suffer conflict. You will suffer all of these things that you would rather be bored in than do that. So you step back. And what you're really doing is you're stepping back in that never-never land between faith and the world. And in that place, it's pure sloth. And it'll get, and it doesn't get better, it gets worse. Until everything is just mush. And as we've talked about before, there's no clarity, there's no precision, there's no urgency. It's just plain old-fashioned boredom. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Was your message well received?
Yeah. They were very hungry people. They may celebrate. What are we going to do with Bob Perm? We may have a whole lot more people than we thought. I'll have
to discuss that later.
Huh?
We don't need to discuss that during our call
today. All right, we won't discuss that.
You can take the open
floor. All right. Anybody, did that touch anybody?
Anthony. Beside.
I forgot being bored with your job. The sun never, I used to say all the time when we first started that the sun never quits, but he gets fired a lot. And then the companion with that, the definition of a fool was anybody that was afraid of being fired from a $50 a week job. But I hope that this reaches something deep within you, that you never, never, never stay in boredom more than a nanosecond. Amen? Can you see how that becomes? There's a whole lot of things that happen automatically when you are bored. It's like you're going down that slippery slope till you're just, meh. All right. I guess nobody's going to talk. Let's go to Colossians 3. Let's start in verse 20 of chapter 2. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments or principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship and voluntary humility is what it says, and neglecting of the body, but not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now, what does that say? It says just what we were talking about. A show of wisdom and will worship and voluntary humility.
What are you trying to say?
I'm I'm saying if your fear toward men is, if your fear toward God is taught by the scriptures or by men, then you are doomed to live in sloth. And you will continue the game because there will be voluntary humility. You decide. You decide to do something about it. So it's will worship instead of total and complete just being. All this is gone. Remember, and we are the wine. You remember the wine? The wine had to go through 7 different lees, 7 different vats. They were, and that's what we are. We are like we started out as grapes, and we hope to be wine. But in those 7, there were 7 different, the first one, there was all kinds of stuff that came to the surface and bubbled because you prophesied, you bubbled up, you said what's there, all kinds of things came up. And they took a board and pushed them off. And all kinds of things settled to the bottom. And so the wine was poured very carefully the first time because they didn't want any of those dregs to get in. And the same thing happened in the next stage. And those are the, for spiritually, those are the 7 vats or the 7 days of linear time. So the second vat, you're still prophesying, you're still doing it, you're still letting everybody know what's there, but there's less crap that comes to the pop and less crap that goes down. And on and on and on and on until in the 7th day, or the 7th vat, it's pure wine. It's pure prophesying. It's total freedom. But you sit back here, you don't even get into the first vat. And that's called, you're just a rotten grape. And that's called leprosy. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah, and you get, it's like the first vat, the pouring out is like discombobulating each time that happens.
But of course.
Didn't we get all this out the first time? You know? But each time, you know, it's like Paul saying, I'm the chief of sinners. He's seeing the stuff.
Amen.
The stuff is not, it's, you can't let it sit there. It's, you can't, you know, it's like.
There can't be any little, little secret places that you're holding on to for yourself. Amen. So in the parable of the wine, it reveals this carefully. The idea that the wine has to ferment. And the process of fermenting of the wine in his people is called prophesying. Saying what's there. Being. Whatever happens. Because you've given yourself without any aces in the hole. You presented yourself a living sacrifice than the other. And so, but again, I can't say that people get mad at me. You know, I can't say that. I don't know for sure if I'm right or not. I got to wait until I'm sure I'm right before I say anything. Then you just get boring. You can ask real sincere questions. And that's will worship instead of boom. Just letting it be and revealing whatever's there. Amen?
Amen. I had something. When you first started, I had something I didn't say. And it had to do with the death and the resurrection. And there's 2 ways to perceive it. One is in time, where you think you had a death. Now I'm resurrected, and that's my constant state. But I think it's more out of time perception, where it's always happening. You're always dying.
Right, you die daily.
Die momentarily. Sentence after sentence, not paying attention to even your own self, you know. And, because if you're listening and judging your own self, then you'll not make the next sentence.
Right, and you don't have to worry about making a mistake. Because that's what the rest of the body is for.
Right.
And then it becomes true community. Then it becomes true, you know, you've lost the right to yourself because it's all, you're all one.
Right.
You're a new thing.
And blood flows.
You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. All right. How did I get off on that? Okay. Chapter 3, verse 1, Colossians. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now that's not talking about in time, that's talking appearing in Revelation. Remember? Jesus told Paul that he to testify of the things which he has just seen, namely the risen Christ in the vision, and of those things in the which he will appear. I will appear unto you. So it's not about, John did it this morning. Something happened, and whatever it was, he saw Christ appeared in that issue. And it goes on and on. That's what sanctification is, until we see Christ is all and in all. There's nothing that we don't see him in. But the process may sound foolish. The words may come out wrong. It's all right. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price, so stop protecting yourself. Stop the will worship and voluntary humility. It's just boring. Amen? All right. All right. Where are we? Back to Thessalonians. That's where we are. See, if I were organized, I'd have that light turned off, or that sun. Go behind a cloud. Go behind a cloud.
If you're omnipotent,
if you,
you'd have that sun turned tuned down.
The noise you hear is somebody laughing, and it's not in this room.
Well, it's going to change on Monday. So.
What?
Because it's daylight savings time.
Oh, that's right.
On Sunday.
Again?
Yeah.
Oh, man, 6 months of sleep deprivation.
Then you're going to wonder, where did that hour go? So where did all that money go?
Let's secede from that.
Secede?
Yeah, yeah, like Arizona.
Yeah.
Let's pretend we're in Wickenburg.
Yeah.
All right.
Where are we?
We are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now we are verse 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wait or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you do. Now, Christ, who died for us, and it's again, who died instead of us. He took on the physical death and the terrible, everything that we can't even imagine what happened. So that we, our death can be much easier. It's just a slow dawning awareness that it already happened. Does everybody understand that? He died instead of us so that our death can be simply the reckoning of him. Does that compute?
No. Physically. And yet.
That's a bigger deal not to have to do what he did spiritually.
Not there yet.
He took on all the sin of the world.
Amen. We can't even. We can't. There's nothing, no way to conceive what happened when he was in the grave for the 3 days. It's beyond our comprehension.
And yet, we are the inheritors of the result of that.
Right, because it's his life in us. It's all him. When he shall appear, when he shall appear, yet not I, when he shall appear, yet not I. That's probably a good place to stop. I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody have any expansions on the tail or see anything? Anybody have any brickbats to throw? Remember when we found out what brickbats were? Little pieces of brick. Little chips of brick.
It's voluntary humility.
What is it? Something that doesn't, that something that proceeds from your mind instead of proceeds from the spirit.
I think about the Pharisee praying, and I think about voluntary humility.
Yeah.
Humility is a very good quality I would like to develop in myself.
Look at me, I'm humble.
Yeah, so I will act humble and people will respect me.
maybe it'll take hold.
I will wear a big hat.
Does that explain it?
Yeah, it's not humility. That's what I thought.
False humility.
False humility. Pseudo. Masquerading as an angel of light. What?
Just voluntary is the root for
it. Yeah. Well, it means that you're doing it.
Who's the worst in here?
Who's the worst in here for being involuntarily humble? Or voluntarily humble?
I'll tell you what, Jesus is the only one that has the right to say, I am. All we are is the vessels for that I am. But if we try to act like the I am because we read about it or because it's a philosophy, then God help us. Again, it all comes down to that simple thing of just being instead of trying to be. Amen?
Yeah.
Take it big, guys.